Back in June, Vandalia asked me to speak about walking in the Lord, and they have some interesting, spent a lot of time on their titles for their sermons. So the title they gave me was Our Walkabout. If you're unfamiliar with this term, a walkabout is a rite of passage in Australian Aboriginal society during which people embark on a spiritual journey starting around the ages of 10 to 16, and they live in the wilderness for a lengthy period of time. When I was researching about that, I found out that apparently the term walkabout is now considered an offensive term. So instead of walkabout, the politically correct term is temporary mobility. I'm going to go with that because actually it applies, I think, better to the lesson. 2 Corinthians 7, 4, 17 through 18 says, "For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, is working for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory, while we do not look at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporary, but the things which are not seen are eternal." Hebrews 11:13 says, "These all died in faith, although they had not received the things that were promised, but they saw them from a distance, greeted them, and confessed that they were foreigners and temporary residents on the earth." Like the people in Hebrews 11, we are also on a temporary journey here on this earth. The term walking is easily one of the most used metaphors in the Bible, and is in reference to how a godly person or an evil person lives their life. It was in the reading this morning that we walk in the light. So especially if you're following today in the NIV, many of the passages that we will look at that refer to walking will actually say live in some of your translations. The Bible tells us many ways that we should walk. 2 Corinthians 5 and 7, walk by faith. Ephesians 5 and 2, walk in love. Colossians 4, 5 through 6, walk in wisdom. Romans 13, 13, walk properly. And Ephesians 5, 2 and 10, walk in good works. Everything's off there, I think. Ephesians 5 and 8, walk as children of the light. Ephesians 4 and 1, walk worthy of our calling. Galatians 5 and 16, walk by the Spirit. 2 John 4 and 4, walk in truth. And 1 John 2, 5 through 6, walk as Jesus walked. I got one right there. I think didn't I have some? Copy and paste sometimes doesn't work for me. 1 John 2, 5 through 6 is the one I want to kind of look at here. "But whoever keeps his word, truly the love of God is perfected in him. By this we know that we are in him. He who says he abides in him ought himself also to walk just as he walked." We need to walk the way that Christ walked. When Christ called his disciples, he always said two words: "Follow me." And that's what we're to do. We are to follow him. We follow Christ. We've taken on his name. We call ourselves Christians. So this is a big responsibility. If we're going to wear the name of Christ, we need to walk in a way that glorifies the name that we wear, not disparages it or causes others to scorn or to mock his name. The Lord Jesus taught us how to walk by showing us his walk. John 13 and 15, Christ says, "For I have given you an example that you should do as I have done." There are three mentions in the Bible of people who walked with God. If I asked you that question, I think you could probably get at least one. The first one, that the mention in the Bible of someone that walks with God, is Enoch. Enoch lived 65 years and begot Methuselah. After he begot Methuselah, Enoch walked with God 300 years and had sons and daughters. So all the days of Enoch were 365 years, and Enoch walked with God, and he was not, for God took him. How did Enoch walk with God? In Hebrews 11, 5 through 6, we're given more insight into this. It says, by faith Enoch was taken from this life so that he did not experience death. He could not be found because God had taken him away. For before he was taken, he was commended as one who pleased God. And without faith, it is impossible to please God, because anyone who comes to him must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who earnestly seek him. Enoch pleased God because of his faith in God. Without faith, it is impossible to please him. There is God's way, and there is the wrong way. It's not actually that complicated. There's God's way, which is the right way, trying to be righteous, and there is the wrong way. Enoch earnestly sought after God's way, the righteous way. Enoch was righteous because of his faith. In Genesis 6 and 9, it says, this is the genealogy of Noah. Noah was a just man, perfect in his generations. Noah walked with God. How did Noah walk with God? Hebrews 11, 7 says, it says, by faith Noah, being divinely warned of things not yet seen, moved with godly fear, prepared an ark for the saving of his household, by which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness which is according to faith. Like Enoch, Noah walked with God because of his faith. He believed in God, and he wanted to please God, so he was obedient to God. It says Noah was the heir of righteousness. He had faith in God, so he walked in the right way when he walked with God. 2 Peter 2 and 5, Peter actually calls Noah a preacher of righteousness. He preached to the world about how to be righteous. The third example of someone that walked with God in the Bible is probably a little bit less known. The third person is Levi, or the Levites as a people. Malachi 2, 4 through 6 says, then you shall know that I have sent this commandment to you, that my covenant with Levi may continue, says the Lord of hosts. My covenant was with him, one of life and peace, and I gave them to him that he might fear me. So he feared me, and was reverent before my name. The law of truth was in his mouth, and injustice was not found on his lips. He walked with me in peace and equity, and turned many away from iniquity. How did Levi walk with God, or the Levites walk with God? The Levites were a people that were set apart for the work of the Lord. But if you remember about the history in the Old Testament, that wasn't originally the case. After the death of the firstborn in Egypt, it was supposed to be the firstborn that were to be set apart for the work of the Lord. They had to be redeemed, and they were set apart for the work of the Lord. But then there's something that happened that actually changed this. After the children of Israel worshiped the golden calf, Moses stood up and in Exodus 32, 26 through 29 had said this, whoever is for the Lord, come to me. And all the Levites rallied to him. Then he said to them, this is what the Lord, the God of Israel, says. Each man strap a sword to his side, go back and forth throughout the camp from one end to the other, each killing his brother and friend and neighbor. This is for punishment for what they had done with the golden calf. The Levites did as Moses commanded, and that day about 3,000 of the people died. Then Moses said, you have been set apart to the Lord today, for you were against your own sons and brothers. And he has blessed you this day. So the Levites became set apart because they were faithful to the Lord and with righteous zeal carried out the Lord's command, even on their own family members. They were obedient to God and they pleased him. They walked with God. So from Enoch and Noah and the Levites, we learn that if we want to walk with God, we need to be faithful. We need to strive for righteousness. We need to follow him and walk in his pathway. Philippians chapter 3, 16 through 18. I think I found a very interesting passage here. There's three verses, Every single verse mentions the word walk. In the NIV, if you're following, it'll say live for all three of these. It says, nevertheless, to the degree that we have already attained, let us walk by the same rule. Let us be of the same mind. Brethren, join in following my example and note those who so walk as you have us for a pattern. For many walk, of whom I have told you often and now tell you even weeping, that they are the enemies of the Christ, of the cross of Christ. So I know a lot of people sometimes aren't interested in the Greek words behind some of our English Bible. But I think it's important to every once in a while look at those and try to see some of those things, and if we can find some points to see if they're always the same Greek word. And in this particular passage, it's interesting because the Greek word for the first walk in verse 16 is not the same Greek word that was used in verse 17 and 18. So there's a little subtle difference here, and we miss some of these things if we don't read the original Greek. We read it in our English terms. So I want to look at these Greek terms. So the second, in verse 17 and 18, the Greek term for walk is peripateo. Peripateo. And this has a definition of you could probably guess what the definition is. If you're gonna guess, every time you come across the word walk in the Bible, and this morning I quickly looked up Strong's on what Bruce read this morning on walking in the light, it's gonna be peripateo almost every single time. There's two definitions of it. The first one is the obvious definition. It means like literally like to walk, you know, putting one foot in front of the other. And we have that a lot in the Bible. We have Jesus walking by the Sea of Galilee, or when Jesus says to the lame man, arise and walk. He's literally meaning walk. Put one foot in front of the other, like we all know how to, or we learn to do as we're growing up, and walk. But there's a second definition to peripateo that's used quite a bit, and it's used in this particular passage here. And it's the manner in which you conduct yourself, or the way that you live your life. So instead of saying the way you live, we say the way you walk, your spiritual walk. And most of the time, this is how peripateo is used, and it is used here in verse 17 and 18. We've been talking about righteousness. There are only two ways to walk. There are only two paths. There's walking in God's way, righteousness, and walking in the wrong way. Verse 17 is the right way. It's the right peripateo, demonstrating the fruits of the Spirit. Paul says to follow his example and to note others who are walking in the righteous way and to emulate them, to follow them in that right way. Not everyone who says they believe actually walks correctly. Walking is the action of what your belief is. If I want to know what's in your heart, I will watch the way that you walk. This is always the way it has been. And it's always the way it will be in the future. Verse 18 is the wrong peripateo. People who are walking in the wrong way. People who are walking in pride and the sins of the flesh. 16 or 17 is the right way. 18 is the wrong way. What about verse 16? Verse 16 is a different Greek word for that walk. And it's a very exciting word for me. When I discovered this, I was very happy and giddy. The Greek word for this walk is stoicheo. And I'm an old chemistry teacher, so this is exciting. Does anybody remember enough about their chemistry why this Greek word is exciting to me? No one at Vandalia did either, so don't feel bad. Don't, anybody that was really into chemistry, any of those college or high school students, stoichiometry. You're not a high school or college student, right? Stoichiometry. Stoichiometry is very exciting, and all my students hate it. Stoichiometry is the math or the rule of how you can predict that chemical reactions have to live by. You can predict, if you have this amount of certain things, you can use the stoichiometry, the math, to predict the amount of chemical product that you're going to produce. And it's pretty much 90% of what I would teach in chemistry is stoichiometry. That's where that Greek word is, that stoichiometry comes from, this Greek word, stoichio. Stoichio means the order or the math to proceed in a row as the march of a soldier, to follow the rule and order that should guide or direct your life. The rule that should guide your spiritual walk. That's what we're talking about in that particular walk. What is the rule that we all should walk by? What guides and directs our feet down the path of righteousness? Where do the soldiers of Christ get their marching orders? What is the rule? What is the stoichio, the way that we should walk according to? It's the word of God. It's the word of God. The walk in verse 16, stoichio, means walking in the word, walking according to the rule. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Psalm 119, 105. So we peripateo, we walk in the fruits of the Spirit. We walk in the Spirit, the fruits that we produce in our life. If we have the Spirit within us, we peripateo. But we also stoichio. We walk according to the rule. We walk according to the word. We walk in the truth. And this is simply what Jesus told us. John 4 and 24, Jesus tells us this. God is Spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. We must walk in the Spirit. We must walk in the truth, which is the word of God. Stoichio is used only 5 times in the New Testament. 5 times. One of them is here. I'm only going to talk about one other time that it's mentioned, and this is going to be our last passage this morning. Galatians chapter 5, 16 through 25. Galatians chapter 5, 16 through 25. And I know that font's too small to read. But this passage is interesting because it's bookmarked by 2 walks in Galatians 5 and 16 and Galatians 5 and 25. 2 walks. In verse 16, it says, I say then, walk in the Spirit and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. This walk here is translated as the peripateo. It's walking in the Spirit, walking with the fruits of the Spirit. It's God's way. And this chapter specifies 2 different paths. This is what this passage is talking about. 2 different paths, a path of walking in the Spirit and a path of the wrong way, walking in the lusts of the flesh. That's what verse 17 says. For the flesh lusts against the Spirit and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary to one another, so that you do not do the things that you wish. This says that these paths are contrary to each other. They are in conflict with each other. You can't walk both of them at the same time. You are either on one of the paths or you are on the other. And if you're on one of them, you're not on the other. They are contrary to each other. At the end of 17, we have that difficult command that makes Christianity hard. You can't do everything you want to do. You just can't do everything you want to do. If you're going to follow Christ, he has told us that. You do the right things. You do the things he has commanded you. You don't do the things you're commanding yourself to do. You can't do everything you want to do. Christianity means sacrifice. That's what it means. In this world, you will have trouble. You will have sacrifice. You have to sacrifice parts of your life, things that you really might enjoy doing. You have to sacrifice them for your Lord. When Paul talked to Felix in Acts 24, we don't have a whole big lesson about all the things that he talked about him, but it says that he talked to Felix about 3 things That's all it says. Really simple. In one little verse, it says he talked to Felix always about three things: righteousness, self-control, and the judgment. And it simply says that Felix was afraid. What was he afraid about? Because you're supposed to be righteous. That's what we're striving for. That's the correct path. And how do you do that? You have to exhibit self-control. You can't do everything that you want to do in this life. You can't. And if you can't restrain yourself and you can't stay on that path, there is a judgment awaiting you. And it's not going to be pleasant. And that's why it said Felix was afraid. Because he knew he had not exhibited self-control in his life. He was not striving to be righteous. 18 through 21. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are evident, which are adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lewdness, idolatry, sorcery, hatred, contentions, jealousies, outbursts of wrath, selfish ambitions, dissensions, heresies, envy, murders, drunkenness, revelries, and the like, of which I tell you beforehand, just as I also told you in times past, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. Paul describes here the wrong walk, the wrong path, the works of the flesh. And he says, if you walk in that path, you won't end up where you want to go. Verse 21 says, if you practice these things, you will not inherit the kingdom of God. But there's another path. Verse 22 and 23. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law. Paul describes the correct way, the path of righteousness. A simple list of 9 characteristics of righteousness, ending with probably the most difficult one in the list, the steering wheel of our life, self-control. Self-control. We have to take the wheel and steer it after Jesus, following his path. Finally, in verse 24 and 25, and those who have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires, if we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. In verse 16, the walk was peripateo. But here in verse 25, the walk is stoicheo. If we want to live in the Spirit, we need to walk by the rule. We need to be continually in the Word of God. We need to study the roadmap. The Word of God guides us in the right way. 2 ways to walk in this passage: the fruit of the Spirit, walking in the Spirit, walking in the truth, following the Word of God. 2 Timothy 3:16 tells us that the Word of God is profitable for instruction in righteousness. It's profitable. It's good for instruction in righteousness. If you want to stay on the right path and be righteous, we have a book that you should be interested in. It tells us it's good. It is profitable for instructing you in the pathway of righteousness. It is there for you. It is the most read, the most purchased book in the history of the universe. It's right there because it's a guide to show you how to be righteous. The way to be righteous is to be obedient to your Creator. That is the way. Micah 6 and 8 says, he has shown you, O man. He has shown you, O man, what is good. And what does the Lord require of you? To do justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with your God. Walking humbly with God while we're here in this short time on earth, our temporary mobility, it is required. It is a requirement of all those who wear the name of Christ. So this morning, as you consider your own personal walkabout, consider the question in Amos 3:3. Do two walk together unless they have agreed? to meet. The Savior is calling you this morning. We ask you to agree to meet him today and begin your walk with him as we stand and we sing the invitation song.